This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. A man by the name of Marcion was born in 85 AD, and he died in 160 AD. So what, you say? I don't know who this Marcion guy is. Why does he matter? Well, one reason is that almost 1,900 years later, his views of the Old Testament scriptures still influence our thinking today, and not for the better. You see, Marcion was a false teacher who rejected the entire Old Testament because he thought it contained many irrelevant teachings and even some evil teachings. In fact, Marcion taught that the God of the Old Testament was a different God than the God of the New Testament. Marcion insisted that the God of the Old Testament was a demanding, condemning, bloodthirsty ogre, whereas the God of the New Testament, Jesus, was a lenient, affirming, gentle, loving God. Does that kind of thinking sound familiar? Many people today, even people who are Christians, buy into some of the false teachings of Marcion. Many Christians wrongly think that the Old Testament is all about judgment and fear and rules, whereas the New Testament, that's all about affirmation and love and happy feelings. Therefore, it's not surprising many churches today ignore the Old Testament. But my friends, this is a tragedy. You see, if you read the entire Bible from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, you will discover that the teaching of Marcion is an evil lie. First of all, the God of the Old Testament is the very same God of the New Testament. They are the same God. In fact, you can't even begin to understand the teaching of the New Testament apart from the teaching of the Old Testament. They are both a unity. They are a united revelation from God. You see, even though the Old Testament does contain teaching about God's hatred of sin, it also contains much teaching about God's love for sinners. In fact, it's the Old Testament that points us ahead to the Savior of sinners that God promised to send. In the same way, even though the New Testament does contain information about God's love and forgiveness, just like the Old Testament, the fact is the New Testament also teaches about God's hatred for sin and the final judgment. In fact, I have a little bit of trivia for you. Did you know that almost all of the information we have about eternal suffering in hell comes from Jesus' mouth? Simply put, the Old Testament is very important if we are going to understand who Jesus is and why we need him as our Savior. With that in mind, today I begin a sermon series titled The Hall of Faith, Old Testament Witnesses for Jesus. Now the theme for this sermon series is Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 through 2. You can find that printed on the inside of your folded insert. If you want to look at that right now, I'm going to read through Hebrews 12 1 through 2, which is printed there. Here's how it reads. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'll be honest, there's way more information in this text than I have time to discuss in just one sermon. So So, I will very briefly sum up this reading with two important points. First point, Hebrews 12 verse 1 talks about us being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, who are these witnesses? Well, our reading is referring to all the Old Testament believers in Christ who lived by faith in God's Word and looked forward to the Savior that God promised to send. Now, we can find a sample of these Old Testament believers in the previous chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, this is a chapter of the Bible I like to call the Hall of Faith. In fact, during the next several weeks, we will examine sections of Hebrews chapter 11 and consider the witness of some of these Old Testament believers so that we can be inspired by their example of sincere faith and humble devotion to Christ. Now here's the second point about that reading from Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 verse 2 shows us that the focus of this entire sermon series is Jesus. You see, even though we're going to be hearing about various characters in the Old Testament, our focus is not on them, because they were sinners just like us. In fact, we need to remember that when we think about all the various Old Testament characters we learned about in Sunday school, whether it be Adam, or Abel, or Abraham, or Moses, or David, or Elijah, or Isaiah, or Jonah, or whomever. You see, we don't learn about these guys because they're moral examples for us, as though Sunday school is nothing more than a how-to class on morality. No, the purpose of Sunday school is to look at these Old Testament characters and see how they point us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so, when we look at these people in Hebrews chapter 11, the purpose of this will be to see how they point us to Christ. You see, Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who endured suffering and death on the cross for us, so that we might be rescued from sin and eternal damnation and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. With that understood, let's go ahead and examine today's reading from Hebrews chapter 11. And the first part of it is from verses 1 through 3, which I'd like to read again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, what can we learn from this text? Well, first of all, we learn what faith is not. First of all, faith is not faith in self. You see, many people today talk about having faith, but what they mean is believing in yourself. But that's not what Scripture means by faith. In addition, there are other people who think of faith as nothing more than wishful thinking. You know, some people think that faith is equal to positive visualization. If you just visualize some dream or desire, it will eventually come true. But that's not what Scripture means by faith. Thankfully, Hebrews tells us what faith is. Simply put, faith is trust in God's Word. When God says something is so, we believe Him, even if His Word seems contrary to our reason and experience. You see, that's why our reading says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, how does this proper understanding of faith play out in real life? Well, let me give you a few examples. First of all, if you're like me, you're aware of all your sins and shortcomings. When you study Scripture on a regular basis, one of the results of that is you are convicted of all the ways that you fall short of God's will in thought, word, and deed. And so when I look in the mirror, I see somebody who's a sinner that deserves God's wrath. That's what my reason and senses tell me when I compare myself to God's ideal in Scripture. I'm a sinner who deserves God's wrath. But what does God want me to believe by faith? By faith in Jesus, God tells me, Tom, and this is for you too, through faith in Jesus, He says, even though you look at yourself and see only sin, I look at you and I see a holy, innocent, pure, righteous child of God. Faith in God's promise of forgiveness in Jesus means that we trust God's word, that through faith in Him, we are forgiven and holy in God's sight, in spite of the fact that we continue to struggle with sin every day. You see, that's the tricky thing about Satan. Initially, the devil pretends to be your friend when he tempts you. He says, oh, come on. God wants you to go to church on a regular basis. You don't need that. God says this is wrong. It's not. Go ahead and do it, especially if it's fun. God says it's important to do this. No, it's not. You can let that go. But once we give in to the devil's lies, and the realization of the guilt of our behavior begins to weigh upon us, that's when the devil changes his tune. Once the devil gets you to sin, then he says, aha, you bought my lie. You rebelled against God, you good-for-nothing rebellious sinner. There's no hope for you now. Why would God want you back? Look at you. He told you not to do that and you did it. He told you you should do this and you didn't. Why would God ever want you? Well, that's when, thanks be to God, we can look to Jesus and know that because of His sacrifice for us, in spite of all the ways that we've fallen short of God's will, in spite of all the ways that we've spit in His face, through repentance and faith in Jesus, you are clean and holy and pure before God. So that's one practical way that trust in God's word plays itself out in real life. Let me give you another one. My father's favorite Bible verse was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, which is, we live by faith, not by sight. So what do those words mean? Well, simply put, they mean that we Christians do not put our trust in our reason or our experience. Instead, we trust God's word. Faith in God's word gives us hope in the midst of situations that seem hopeless based on our reason. For example, after my father's funeral, April 1st of 2009, they lowered his body into the ground. What we know from science is that his body will slowly but surely decay and turn to dust. And that's it. That's what human reason and experience tells us about death. It's the end of life. But what about God's word? God's word says that those who trust in Christ have the certain hope of the resurrection of the body and life everlasting in the new creation. So according to my reason, my father's body is under the ground, decaying, and I'll never see him again. But according to faith in God's word, he will rise again on the final day, and I will stand with him before our Savior, and we will never be parted again. So that's another way that faith plays itself out in real life. Let me give you just one more example of how faith works in real life, and this is especially important for our modern culture. You see, we live in a society where many people are deceived by the evil philosophy known as relativism. Simply put, people deny that there is a truth revealed by God that defines what we should believe and how we should live. They deny that. Instead, many people simply live by this code. if it's reasonable to you, believe it. But if it's not reasonable to you, don't believe it. If some behavior is not pleasant for you, then don't do it, no matter how good people say it is. But if there is some behavior that is fun for you, go ahead and do it. And don't let anyone tell you that it's sinful. My friends, the evil philosophy of relativism says there is no God, there is no absolute truth, there is no right and wrong, there's only personal opinion. And so truth is whatever is good for you. But that is just one more of the devil's lies. But in contrast, we have God's gift of faith. We Christians trust God's word, and so we know what we are to believe, and we know how we are to live. And that is a very practical philosophy for our world today. God knows how we were meant to live as human beings. If we live that way, we'll be blessed. But Satan gets us to live contrary to that, and then we wonder why our world is so messed up. My friends, even though human reason and experience would tell us that we are foolish to base our thinking and living on Holy Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, we trust God's word because He is our Creator and our Savior. In fact, our reading says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I was listening to the radio, and apparently Stephen Hawking, a physicist who lives in England, is about to publish a brand new book. And in this book, he says that his study of physics has led him to the conclusion that there is no God. Well, there are people in our culture, sadly, who believe that all life evolved by accident over billions of years. But we don't believe that. We trust God's word in Genesis, which says that He created the universe and all life in 6 ordinary days. We trust God's word because He was the one who was there when it happened. He was the one who created us. So faith means trust in God's word. Now, when our reading says, this is what the ancients were commended for, it's pointing us to those believers in the Old Testament who trusted God's word. And God commends them to us as examples. That's why we find them listed in Hebrews chapter 11. The Hall of Faith. Now, in the second part of today's reading from Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16, we learn some other important things. Let me read that part for you again. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Now, what does this reading mean when it says that the Old Testament believers did not receive the things promised? Does that mean they were left out of God's plan of salvation? No. Instead, what this means is that they died before God's promise about a Savior was fulfilled. You see, the Old Testament believers trusted that God would send them a Savior from sin, and they trusted in that Savior. Every so often, someone asks me, Pastor, I know that we Christians are saved through faith in Jesus, but what about those Old Testament people? What did they believe in before Jesus came into the world? The answer is simple. They believed in the same Jesus. The only difference between them and us is that they believed in the Jesus who was to come, and we believe in the Jesus who has come. In fact, we need to realize how immensely blessed we are. We live in a time of history after the Savior has already come into the world and completed His work to save us. We can read and study Holy Scripture and look back upon the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And thereby we can rejoice in the fact that God's Old Testament promises have been fulfilled. However, we are still like those Old Testament believers in one sense. You see, just as they were waiting for Jesus to come the first time to deliver us from sin, we are waiting for Jesus to come the second time in power and glory. Unlike his first coming, when Jesus humbled himself and died for our sins, at Jesus' second coming, he will conquer all evil, and his glory will shine throughout the whole universe. At his second coming, Jesus will raise all the dead. Those who lived and died rejecting Jesus will be raised to face judgment and eternity in hell, which is their own choice. But those who died trusting in Jesus will be raised to face God's love and eternal life with him in the new creation. In fact, in view of this hope, I'd like to read to you Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Listen carefully to this. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. My friends, that scripture passage defines what our life in this world should be as Christians. Hebrews 9:28 says that the Christian life is all about waiting for Jesus. Our minds should be focused on him, no matter what we're doing. How contrary that is to what the devil gets us to do. First of all, he gets us to ignore God as much as possible and never come to church, ideally. But even if we do go to church on a regular basis, the devil gets us to think, hey, okay, if I can't keep you from going to church, then just remember all you have to do is give God that 1 hour on Sunday morning and then he can forget about him the rest of the week. No. The Christian life is waiting for Jesus. Whether you're working or resting, whether you're at home or on vacation, whether you're getting up in the morning or going to bed at night or having a meal with your family, whatever you're doing, the Bible says do it all to the glory of God. Live your life realizing that our whole life is to be an offering of praise and thanksgiving to the God who saved us. Live your life realizing that this world is ultimately not your home, because your home is with God in the new creation. You see, that's why we wait for Jesus. At his second coming, he will raise our bodies from the dust of the ground and usher us into the city. And by city, he means the new earth, the new creation that God will make for us on that final day, just as he promised. In closing, I know it can be very, very hard to live by faith. I'm no different than you. I'm a sinner too. I fall short of God's will every day. It's hard to live by faith. Not only do we struggle with our own sinful desires every day, but we also have to fight against the evil temptations that are around us in this world. And on top of that, the devil tempts us to live by our reason and experience rather than by faith. But don't despair. You are not alone. The one who died for your sins, the one who conquered death for you, he is the one who gave faith to you. And as you fix your eyes on Jesus, as you continue to be nurtured by his word on a regular basis, God will keep your faith strong and secure. He will rescue from the doubts and lies of the devil, and he will create in you a new heart and a new mind that is waiting for Jesus with bated breath. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what that means? In spite of all the horrible things going on in the world today, in spite of all the things that make us believe that the devil's in control, the reality is Jesus reigns, and nothing can pluck us out of his hand. Think about it. Jesus endured the cross because of you. You've heard me say multiple times that no one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He was God. He could have wiped out his enemies with a breath. But he willingly went there because it brought him joy. How could being nailed to a cross bring him joy? He had joy because he knew that that sacrifice was going to result in your salvation. Jesus could walk up to that cruel cross knowing what he would face there, having joy in his heart because of you, knowing that what he was about to do would result in your salvation. So just like those Old Testament believers, fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the one who gave you faith in him, and as you continue to grow in his word, he will perfect that faith unto eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.